Welcome to the eighth portion of Sefer HaMitzvos from the Rambam. Today's portion contains four commandments. Prohibition 64, not to test a prophet. Positive commandment number 8, to walk and imitate the ways of God. Positive commandment number 6, to cleave to the sages. And positive commandment 206, Avos Yisrael, to love one's fellow Jew. In his legal code, the Rambam describes how exactly we are to determine whether a person is a true prophet or not. Basically, this can happen in two ways. Either he can have another prophet say that he is a prophet, or he can predict various things in the future, and should they come true exactly, then we know the person is a true prophet. Miracles alone are not a sign of a prophet, since miracles can be performed in other ways. However, once we have seen many times that he has predicted the future, and as we mentioned in yesterday's portion, that he is walking in the ways of God, he is behaving in a manner which is befitting, which befits a prophet. He is expert in Torah and fulfillment of the commandments, and then is able to tell the future, as described at length in the Rambam's legal code, then we know he is a prophet. And after he has been determined to be a true prophet, we are forbidden from testing him further, overly testing him. And this is prohibition number 64, deriving from the verse in Chumash, Leisen Nasu es Hashem Elokeichem kasher nisisam b'maso. Do not test God as you tested him at Maso. This is when the Jewish people tested Moses and complained about not having water, and Moses had to perform a miracle as directed by God by striking a rock and having water come out of the rock. This they were later warned in the book of Deuteronomy not to do. Do not test God through testing the prophet. Rather, as the Rambam says in Sefer HaMitzvos, whatever he promises us or whatever warnings he gives us, we must believe him once we know he is a true prophet. The Chinuch explains that our performance of commandments, and in particular the way we follow the prophet, must be in a way that we are sure. Our observance of Torah mitzvahs is not based on a suffix, a doubt. Perhaps we're doing the right thing, and perhaps not. Should we allow an unlimited testing of the prophet, then we would always be unsure whether we are correct or not. Rather, Judaism must be performed in a way that we are sure that what we are doing is right, and therefore certain parameters have been set up as to how far we must test the prophet. But once we have determined he is a prophet, we must not test him further. The Chinuch also says that this prohibition includes testing God in mitzvahs, that performing mitzvahs and testing Hashem, that we should get a reward, that since there is no reward in this world necessarily for the performance of mitzvahs, we cannot test Hashem by waiting to see whether our performance of his commands will bring us reward. One exception of this is the law of Maaser, of giving tzedakah, where Hashem explicitly says, in this commandment you may test me. Give charity, and you will see that you will get all of the money back. Positive commandment number 8 is to walk in the paths of God. This commandment is expressed various places in the book of Deuteronomy, where it is stated, V'halachta b'drochav, you should walk in his ways. Lo leches b'chol drochav, you shall walk in his ways. As well as, Acharei Hashem Elokeichem teilechu, you should walk after Hashem your God. But after all, how can we follow in the paths of God? We are only human beings. The Rambam explains that there are various deeds which we ascribe to Hashem and various qualities by which we use to describe him. And it is these qualities which we see and which our sages have used as means of describing Hashem that we must try to imitate. As the Sifri says that just as God is called merciful, you must be merciful. He is called kind, you shall be kind. He is called righteous, and he is called a chassid, that he does even more than what is required. All of these things you must imitate. And this is how we walk in the path of God, to imitate his traits, which have been described to him, al derech mashal, as a means of bringing close to human understanding the ways of God. In his legal code, the Rambam extends this commandment even further. The Rambam takes into account all of a person's personal qualities and traits. The Rambam says that there are extremes in any individual characteristic. For example, some people are extremely stingy, and other people cannot even hold on to their money. Some people are balei taiva, are continuously trying to fulfill their various desires, and other people don't want anything at all. Some people become extremely angry at the slightest thing, and other people behave like stones and never get angry at anything. In general, the proper path is being directly in the middle, equidistant from both extremes. And it is this that we are being commanded, V'halachta b'drachav, you should walk in the ways of Hashem, because the ways of Hashem are the middle path in any single characteristic. And as the Rambam in Hilchas Deis gives lengthy practical advice on how to attain this, that a person is required to make a self-accounting of his deeds and his midas, his emotions and characteristics, and constantly work to improve himself and bring it to the middle path. It would seem, therefore, that according to the Rambam, self-improvement and making a self-accounting of one's emotions and characteristics is one of the 613 commandments, as it comes under this category of walking in the ways of Hashem. Why is it, but still, how can it be that we are commanded to walk in His paths? In the Sefer HaMitzvahs, the Rambam says, we are commanded to do so, kfi yecholteinu, as much as we are able to. But the Lubavitcher Rebbe Shlita Nesicha pointed out that we are also the owners of a chelok eloka mimal, that we have within us a holy neshama, a soul, which has a piece of godliness within it. And with this godliness within us, with the holy spark in our soul, we are capable of walking in the ways of Hashem by revealing this godliness within us and revealing the ability of this holiness to transform our personality and to transform the world as well. Again, in Hilchas Deis, the laws pertaining to individual characteristics, the Rambam tells us that we are naturally affected by our environment and by the people we associate with, and gradually begin to assimilate into our own behavior and our own outlook the actions and the opinions of other people. Therefore, we must be extremely careful who we associate with. This is positive commandment number 6, at least part of it, that we are commanded to cleave to the sages, that we must stay together with them, we should sit with them, we should join to them in every way possible, we should eat with them, do business with them, and so on. That through this, we will come to imitate their deeds and assimilate into our comprehension, their opinions, and their Torah knowledge, and their outlook on the world. And as the Rambam clearly indicates in his legal code, that the commandment here is not only regarding people that have Torah knowledge, but as he says there at the beginning of Hilchas Deis, Lidavek B'yedav, people that know Hashem, meaning not only do they have Torah knowledge, but they are holy in their actions and have knowledge of Hashem Himself and are capable of directly relating to godliness, and it is them we should imitate and them we should cleave to. This commandment is brought in the book of Deuteronomy in two different places. One verse says, Uladavka vei, and the other says, Uvei sidbak, both meaning that you should cleave to God. And as the Rambam quotes our sages that say, how is it possible to cleave to Hashem? The verse says that Hashem is Eish Eichlahu, that He is a consuming fire. And how then can we cleave to Him? And the Sifri answers, we cleave to Him through cleaving to His sages and their students. And furthermore, we should attempt to do business with them as much as possible. And as the Rambam quotes from our sages, that it is even proper to try to marry off one's children to a Torah scholar, one's daughter to a Talmud Chacham, and one's son to the daughter of a Talmud Chacham, that in this way we can cleave closer to the sages. And in doing so, cleave to Hashem. As the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, that it is not only since we cannot cleave to Hashem, we cleave to the sages. But rather, the Alter Rebbe explains that the infinite revelation of God, Or Ein Sof, is revealed in Chochmah Ilah, the supernal sphera of Chochmah or wisdom. And from that level, all Jewish souls come. However, the souls of the Talmidei Chachamim, the heads of the generation, are unchanged, that as they are down here, they also are cleaving and revealing the state of Chochmah Ilah. All of our souls also come from this level. But we have gone down through many stages of development, and therefore no longer feel this connection. However, by cleaving to the sages, we cleave to the source of our souls, to Chochmah Ilah, the supernal Chochmah, and in doing so, cleave to the infinite revelation which is in that sphere, in Chochmah Ilah. Therefore, through cleaving to the sages, we are in fact cleaving to God. Positive commandment 206 is the commandment of Avos Yisrael, to love one's fellow Jew like oneself. And as the Rambam stresses in Sefer HaMitzvahs, it means absolutely like you would have to yourself. Just like you have love and compassion for yourself, so too to your fellow Jew. As you would care about your own money, you should care about his money. So too with himself, with all of his possessions, and all of his desires. What you would desire for yourself, you should desire for him also. What you would not want for yourself or to your friends, you should also not want for another person. As the book of Leviticus states, V'yahavtal re'acha kamecha, you should love re'acha, which in the Chumash is referring to a fellow Jew, as the Rambam mentions Ben Dossi, of someone from the Jewish faith, you should love them exactly like yourself. In his legal code, the Rambam mentions this includes also telling praises about another person. Just as you would want people speaking nicely about you, you should speak nicely about them. It also includes a whole range of rabbinic commandments, such as visiting the sick and comforting the mourners, taking care of the dead, taking care of people that are ready to be married, and so on. All of them come under the biblical commandment, V'yahavta l'reyacha kamecha. Many of the commentaries ask on this commandment as they asked on the commandment to love Hashem. How can there be a commandment on an emotion? And especially as the Ramban Nachmanides points out, how can one love another person exactly like oneself? How is it within the human capability to do such a thing? Therefore, many learn that the commandment here is a commandment of action. Not that one must literally love them as oneself, but one must treat them as oneself. And although that is certainly included in the Rambam's description here, both in Sefer HaMitzvahs and his legal code, the Rambam uses the expression to love one another one just like you love oneself. And we are left with the question, how can there be a commandment on an emotion? In Atamim, it is brought the answer of the Alter Rebbe to this question, that just as we mentioned in the law of loving Hashem, that the commandment is to think about things which will bring you to love Hashem, and our thoughts we can control. Therefore, also you should think the good things about a person, and especially as explained at length in Chassidus, the tremendous quality of every Jewish neshama of the Jewish soul, through thinking about the aspects of a fellow Jew which will arouse love, you are fulfilling the commandment of Avas Yisrael, of loving one's fellow Jew. We are required to think, and automatically through thinking about the right things, the emotion will follow. In the Talmud, Hillel HaZaken speaks about the importance of this mitzvah, that Zeh Kol HaTorah Kula, this is the entire Torah, and the rest is just an explanation of the commandment of Avas Yisrael. We can understand how this might include all commandments which are interpersonal commandments, but how do they include those commandments which are between a person and God? In Tanya, the Alter Rebbe explains that in order to have proper Avas Yisrael, one must not look at the physical characteristics of another Jew, but one must rather look at the person in a spiritual light and contemplate about the greatness of the soul and how all souls are intermingled. And this act of strengthening the spiritual over the physical, this is the entire Torah. And through fulfilling the commandment of Avas Yisrael, of loving one's fellow Jew, one will also elevate oneself above physical limitations and thereby come to fulfill the entire Torah. A second reason Alter Rebbe mentions is that the purpose of Torah and mitzvahs, one of the purposes, is to bring about a dwelling of the Shechina, of God's presence among the Jewish people. And how can we truly fulfill this bringing of God's presence to us is by fulfilling the mitzvah of Avos Yisrael. As we say in our prayers, bless us our Father when we are one, meaning when we are together, then God's presence will be upon us. When we are one among ourselves, then Avshem Echad, the true idea of the oneness of God, can dwell among us as well. And then our prayers will be fulfilled, and the blessings will come to us. And as our sages say, the reason the temple was destroyed and we were sent into exile was because of Sinas Chinam, because of unwarranted hatred. And through taking away the cause of this exile, we automatically will go back to the previous state where the Beis HaMikdash, the temple in Jerusalem, was built. And this will come through Avas Chinam, through warrantless love. To replace the unwarranted hatred, we must have unwarranted love for one another. And by taking away the cause of the exile, this hatred, we will automatically bring Mashiach and the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash.